listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Brian.
Amy.
Yep. Can you come a little louder? A little louder there, Big B.
Oh.
You're cutting. Let's go in the lobby. We'll tune you up. The live stream. All right, everybody. It is May 8th, 2020. I'm in the live stream talking to the great, the one, the only, Brian Stavely. Brian, hello.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for coming by. I've got about an hour before I have to split, but I thought you hit me up on Discord, and I thought we should just have a quick chat.
Sure.
We haven't. Well, we have. There's a couple.
Whatever.
There's a couple things to catch up on.
Yeah, I bet.
Two things we have in common is Chris Kendall, who we both really liked. And now we have the Corona thing going on. So there's two massive things that we can kill an hour with. So why don't we just start first with Chris. What did you think of that story I posted on fakeologist.com?
That's crazy. I hadn't heard nothing at all about that until you told me about it. It's pretty unexpected.
Yeah. How about the first thing, the first question that a fakeologist/dose of reality person needs to ask, and Chris, of course, would have probably been annoyed if we didn't ask. Do you think it's real?
No. I mean, I don't really know any of the details of it, so, you know. I honestly tend to think that they don't really wipe out people like us in the way that people think. I really tend to think that's a little bit more towards the fear, but I don't know.
Yeah, were you in contact at all with Chris over the years, the past years? Because not at all.
The last time I talked to him was that one time you heard me try to call into his show and I had the audio issues, like, you know, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the last time.
Yeah. One thing, you're consistent. You always had some kind of audio issues. I remember you had the smoke alarm that was always beeping in the background, and then you had the dog. So anyway.
Yep.
All right. So you have no comment on that. Well, I don't really have a comment either. I don't know much more, but you and I both listened to Chris for years and years and years, and I think we both liked his show, and you did call in quite a few times.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I probably did a lot of shows with him, you know, maybe at least a dozen, you know, between my channel and his. Chris was cool, man. He was one of the only guys, you know, there's very few of us that really understood the psyops to that level. Chris was definitely one of them, you know.
Yeah, aren't you amazed that all these years later, there still isn't a ton of us? There should be 500 of us.
Yep, it's pretty crazy.
Well, okay, let's move on to Corona then. What do you think of this? This is unbelievable, and it's such a big psyop. How does this compare to 9/11? Because you're definitely one of the leading 9/11 researchers.
I don't know. I think this might even be bigger. I mean, the amount of propaganda that was ready to roll out when they released this thing, from all the actors stepping forward, you know, to Neil deGrasse coming out, Tom Hanks, all these songs and parodies they had ready to roll out. All these guidelines in place. I don't know. It's pretty crazy, man. Because this, I mean, it's even a little worse, because at least with 9/11, that people were just like scared of the scary brown Muslim guy. Now everybody's, and that's still terrible, don't get me wrong, but now it's everybody's scared of every human around them. Pretty sad. People walking around with masks. People got masks on their kids. It's really crazy, man. Really crazy.
You probably followed this in China. We all sort of watched it percolate in China since, I guess, January. Did you think it was going to come over here and just blow up like it did, like it has?
Oh, no, definitely not. Absolutely not. There's no way I thought it was going to be big like that. I thought it was just going to blow over and be another ridiculous story that was going to go away. maybe be around the kind of like the Ebola story was around a little bit, but that really never amounted to much over here. That was a pretty small hoax, you know? But the way they did this whole thing, it's genius. Disguised it as a flu, so pretty much anybody has the symptoms. Scare the crap out of everybody, so they want to go get tested. Most of the places, they just tell you they don't even have the ways to test you. And the places that do, the system's completely flawed anyways. And then you have all the nurses buying into it, and all the doctors buying into it, because they're sitting there doing nothing all day but watching TV and reading their internal emails. Then when people come, they're going to diagnose them as COVID.
So what is the difference with this between this PSYOP and every other PSYOP that we've covered? What is the main difference that you see?
See more unity from what we already know as a world power. Not, you know, we know we're way beyond knowing it's different nations. We know it's all one big system. But I mean, this really shows that, doesn't it? The way everything came down in different phases and all the countries at the same time. I think that's one of the big differences. It, you know what it really made me realize is, it really made me realize that so many more people are hopeless than I thought. I mean, they're just never going to get it, dude.
Yeah, and this one, everyone has to think about it because everyone is on a worldwide timeout. With 9/11, okay, it happened over a day for sure. That was the big day. And then I think people were off, at least in America, for a few days, maybe a week. So they had time to think about it. But a week or two later, the storm blew over, things were back to normal. But this one, everyone has had so much time to think about it, yet we're still not getting any great awakening, which is stunning because everyone has the time. They have endless time to think about it and to look into it. And there is information out there. Yeah, of course, it's a little harder to find, and Google and YouTube and Facebook, they all are more aggressive to steer you and guardrail you away from what you need to know. But if you do put in the time, you probably could get some pretty good answers from many places.
Yeah, but most of those people that are sitting at home are just, how's my mic now? Do I sound louder?
Yeah, you just got really loud. What happened?
Oh, man. Wow, I'm such a fool. This microphone, it's had a gain on it the whole time, and I didn't even know it.
There's a gain button on it?
There's the dial I thought was just to switch from the different modes of the microphone.
Okay, like, you cranked it up.
Yeah, you know how you can do, like, omnidirectional, and, like, there's, like, a couple different modes? I thought the dial just did that, but it seems like that dial also has, it's also a gain depending on how far you turn.
Yeah.
So I sound good, right? Cool. Sorry about that.
Way louder, yeah. I don't have a microphone that has... I'm using the headset mic because it's usually pretty good, and that way I can move my head around without worrying. That's one thing I like about the boom mic. You can just swivel your head around, and it's still the same audio, but I have no settings on this mic, but it's still pretty good for a $40 mic. But I find the headset mics are pretty good. And someone else I listen to all the time, Tim Osman, he had a big mic, I guess, he bought. And he always sounded echoey with that. So he went back to the headset, even though it sounds like a headset, but at least it's super clear. And he can also move around and not lose the strength of the microphone. So there's pros and cons to every single mic. As long as you have a good mic, though, that's the main thing. People, I like to be able to hear people without straining too much.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing with this one is the worldwide coordination is fantastic, and it's exposed this wasn't hidden, but the coordination was definitely hidden of this public health network, this sort of harmless network that we've all heard about in whatever jurisdiction we lived in. We didn't really know them other than to maybe have opinions on different medical anything related to public health. I knew of the people in public health because eventually they would say you should bike to work and not drive the car, make generalized statements like this. But we had no idea that this network was so attached to this central network, the WHO in Geneva.
Yeah.
They were so wired. They got their incredible network so integrated, and it was just, it's it's working so perfectly because everyone is singing from the same songbook. And it's literally, they just expose themselves quickly for the network they are. Of course, we all know there's networks. We just didn't know how alive and how vibrant and how completely military this network is. It's like an invading army through the back door. They've just been sitting there the whole time. They're activated.
Yeah. And the other thing about this, too, is they've really been able to show how they're able to literally just do whatever they want by the power of words and suggestion without any laws or anything. We know all the laws of bogus anyways. But, I mean, all this stuff and all these things are just guidelines, and people just do it. They just shut down.
Yeah, there are no laws on this.
No, that's why I thought it was important when I went on vacation last week that I went out to beaches and stores and all the and restaurants and all these places. They say you can't go, just to go and show people, like, just go live your life. Ignore these people. Then they got all these people wearing the masks now, and it's just gross. I mean, everything's backwards. Like, you go to a beach, right? And all the outhouse, you know, the big public bathroom that they have at a beach, it's all blocked off with signs that say, due to health concerns, blah, 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 blah. And then they'll have the outhouse, one outhouse open that's festering in crap all day. And that's where they want you to go.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's basically to discourage you to go away or encourage you to leave.
Yeah, you go to a restaurant, and they just have whatever they want to wear over their face, like makeshift bandanas or whatever. And then because they're sitting in there sweating it all day, they're touching it with their hands, and it's way more grosser than it used to be. It's like, give me a break, dude.
So you went on a trip from where you live, Boston, to L.A. last week. I think you did some videos on your channel.
Yep.
And how easy was it to get a flight? Because I've watched videos from airplane channels, and they're showing pictures of hundreds of planes parked on runways because there's nowhere else to put them. So how did you get a flight?
Obviously, when people have... I'm staying in because they're scared the demand is going to be down from the airlines, right?
It's down 99%, the guy said. The number of flights is down 99%.
I told the guy in Walmart this story. I was talking to him about the virus and, you know, just trying to wake him up a little bit. I've been trying to talk to a lot of people, like, in person when I see them, and especially if they have a mask on. And then I was like, hey, you know, I just flew here. This is like a few days ago. I'm like, you know, I just flew here from Boston. And he's like, how did you do that? Just like you said. It said, ancient secret, man, Priceline.com. That's how I did it. I went on Priceline.
Okay.
I ordered the ticket. But listen, I ordered the ticket the night before. I did the mobile boarding pass like you always do. I went to the airport. And you know what restrictions and precautions they had? None. Nobody even asked me a question. Nobody said, where you going? Where you been? You been around anybody sick? In fact, the only question I was asked is, can I have your ID, please, sir? When I got to the security checkpoint. Easiest trip through security ever. The airport was virtually empty. And there also should be noted that there is no uniformity between what they were wearing for masks. So you would see some employees with, some without, and many of them in the same area together. Like you would see two people at a ticket counter, one with a mask, one without. The cops didn't have any. And when I got on the plane, which was the easiest flight ever, three of the four stewardesses had them on. One didn't. The pilot didn't. In fact, any of the captains I saw walking through the airport did not have a mask on. So, I mean, wouldn't planes flying people across the country with stewardesses or flight attendants and captains getting on and off to go to hotels and restaurants and eat and do all this, shouldn't they be the first people to wear a mask? Well, they don't. So none of these people are really afraid. And I asked the woman on the plane, one of the flight attendants, what's up?
Go ahead. How busy was the plane? How many people were on?
I want to say there was probably between 30 and 40 people, maybe, at the most. And the plane back, though, had a lot more, maybe like 60 people.
Okay, was it half full? Or
no, no. I'm thinking a plane probably has like 200 seats, right? I mean, I don't know how many seats are on a plane. I'm thinking it was like 30 or 200.
There's lots of different planes. But just eyeballing it, did it look half full? Yeah.
Oh, no. 20% maybe. If that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's super empty.
Very, very, very empty. And the only precautions they were doing, alleged precautions, is if you wanted to be socially distant from another person, they would move your seat. And there's people on there. Man, there was one guy on there. He had the full mask with the respirator over his mouth. He had these goggles over his eyes, like James Worthy goggles. Like, it was crazy, man. But nothing for me. They didn't ask me anything. They didn't ask me anything when I got off. I had the easiest trip through security. Same thing when I came home from LAX.
Yep, I got a little bumper here. Hold on. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. All right, we're back. I'm here with Brian Stavely of DoseOfRealityRadio.com. We're just doing a quick catch-up. We're just talking about Corona. What else is there to talk about? We've been Well, I made a switch on my website, fakeologist.com, because, number one, you can't search for it anymore. Google doesn't really show it unless you know the exact name of the website. So it's Corona Hoax does not help. And I also registered coronahoax.icu for about $2.49. It was the cheapest one. And they wouldn't let me register it. And I said, why not? And they said, well, the word corona, COVID, they're all copywritten words. I said, how? How is that possible? So they said, we'll do an override and let you register it, but you might lose it. So the registrar doesn't, or the name, the service, they don't do the actual registration. They forward it to the registrar. Anyway, within about 2 weeks, it was suspended. So they, I didn't get really any good explanation of why from them. I didn't really follow up too much. I just found out that it was suspended. But amazing that they can actually register words and hold them and how you could copy.
It's a business.
How could you copyright Corona and COVID? I can understand if I try to use Coca-Cola.icu, but come on. So
I don't understand how they could. Coronavirus has already been a thing, as we know. There's many forms of it, so I don't see how they could do that. But hey, COVID-19. I mean, they just completely made it up. I guess they could trademark it, right?
No, it's Corona. The word Corona was in the word, and it doesn't. It was coronavirushoax.icu. So what part of that didn't they like? Corona, virus, hoax. They just jammed them all together.
Well, we know it's hoax, obviously.
Yeah, but just the coordination at that end, you know, they got the registrars basically wearing a mask on the websites.
Yeah.
So this is just a great example of total spectrum dominance. They've got every angle covered. So if people think this is just a random thing that they're reacting to suddenly in the last few months, you're so wrong. Now we know what they've been working on since 9/11.
And you get the same stories as 9/11, don't you? Somebody knows somebody who knew somebody that once had a cough that once worked in the towers.
Well, everyone knows somebody who knew someone who's someone who's got the COVIDs, basically.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, because they're labeling all these deaths as COVID, almost no matter what the cause is. Granted, never mind people that are old and in old folks' home, they have no chance of not having COVID, according to the official death certificate when it comes out. You need to ask people that say, oh, I knew a guy. How old is the guy? That's what I ask them. How old is this guy you say you know, or this lady you say you know? Because it's always these elderly people, and people die all the time. Where are all the young people dying? Where are the people in their 30s, their 40s, their kids? Where are all these people really sick? Do you actually know any? I'm not asking you a rhetorical question. I know you, but do you know any? Do you know any young people that are actually sick? No. You know people that are on their way out, and that are being either misdiagnosed or they're just death certificates getting completely labeled wrong. The CDC even came out and said people with such debilitating conditions like heart disease, kidney failure, and all this, they're marking them down as COVID. It's COVID until proven otherwise.
They're diagnosing them over the phone as well. Do you have a cough?
Oh,
do you have this?
I went to go through that process personally myself. I went to get tested. Well, I went to an urgent care place about 5 weeks ago. Maybe 4 weeks ago, when it was really starting to get going. And this was like the third doctor's office that I went to and recorded. And when I talked to this lady, she gave me this whole thing about, cause I was like, oh, I told her it wasn't for me, it was for a friend, right? I have a friend that might have the symptoms and I want to know what to do. Should I bring him to the hospital? No, don't bring him to the hospital, she's telling me, right? And then she's telling me, and I got the paperwork too, I brought it home. She's telling me, you come there, you come inside, you tell them whatever, then they tell you to go sit in your car, then they call you, they diagnose you over the phone, and then you either have a second phone call the dreaded, hey, you have corona over the phone, or the second phone call is to tell you to come inside and we have a bed waiting for you. And you know that second call is never coming about, hey, come inside. They just completely tell you to go one place and you go there and there's nothing going on. They tell you to go to your primary, you can't get in touch with them. They tell you to go to a testing place. It's completely ridiculous.
And they're basically telling you, referring you around in circles. So one person refers you to this public health center, and then they say, no, we don't do it. Go to your primary caregiver. And they said, no, I don't do it. Go back to the public. So it's one big circle. So you're caught in a loop.
Yeah, you're caught in a loop. And ultimately, when you got to what would appear to be whatever spot would be the finish line, they would claim that they didn't have the tests. They do have them at places now, but they're an accurate swab test that if 100 of us took it, 80% of us would come back with coronavirus. They can't isolate this COVID-19. It's completely
right. False positive. Yeah. 80.33% false positive. Yeah. So that actually is not a test.
No,
that in effect is a useless test.
No, and we've sent many people, people I do shows with, and myself, we've gone to testing sites that are completely empty. And for the ones that do get some people straggling in, well, of course some people are going to straggle in because the news is telling them that their cough is coronavirus. You better go get tested. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that they actually have a coronavirus. If you ask an EMT how they tell the difference if somebody has influenza or COVID, they don't. They don't know the answer. They just assume they have COVID.
Well, as I said before, we also have to we have to change our language. And it's made me do more research. And the only time I've ever done research really on viruses is when I was looking into the AIDS hoax. So now all of a sudden we have to go back to re-educating ourselves on what is a virus, what is the germ theory. So this is the basic homework I've been doing, and this is what I'm promoting, because I say if we can blow apart the root of the issue, just like a wart. You can keep picking away at a wart. Unless you get the root out, it's just going to keep building back up. Your body's going to keep reacting to this foreign body and keep trying to get rid of it. So unless we go back to the root of this hoax, we'll never get people out of the spell. So that leads you into the whole Pasteur, Bechon, germ theory, terrain theory. Mm-hmm. And if you really work it out, it's quite obvious that the terrain theory, which is where when your body itself as a system, you have parts to your system, you have cells, you've got all the chemical balance of your body. When that is out of whack, then your body will try and get it back into whack by giving you a fever, maybe a runny nose. It's doing everything it can to get everything back into shape. Whereas the germ theory says that something from outside your body comes in and it starts attacking. And then we have these things called antigens, which they measure. And that is the only proof that something is happening. It's not the actual thing that they can measure. It's the reaction that they measure. And it works both ways for both theories exactly the same. Sort of like the old ball or flat earth thing. Everything sort of works out for both. So you can't really...
Because you take the truth and then you build the false model backwards off of it. And then you have two things.
That's right. And models is all we've ever been hearing about this whole thing. It's all about the models, the modeling. We got to get the curve down or flatten the curve. It's all a model.
Flatten the curve.
It's never about actual curve. It's the model. They're always working on this damn model. That's all you ever hear about. So the bottom line, though, is if you look into the germ theory and the terrain theory, and you realize the germ theory is the only one that can make big pharma money, and who is benefiting from any potential reaction to this thing, well, that's the germ theory. That's the big pharma. The terrain theory, where you just keep yourself well by not smoking, by not drinking, by eating all the right foods, nobody's making money. Nobody in the pharmaceutical business makes money off that. If you're healthy, you are a bad customer for big pharma. So no one in their right mind would promote that, except, of course, people that are really concerned about your health. But if they want to keep you sick, then, of course, the germ theory is all the rage. You got to promote that. So if you can do your own research and figure out that central lie, if you can bust apart the central lie, the whole thing becomes neutralized. So then you have to ask yourself, what are we really seeing? We have this central lie where we're told that everyone has this virus that you can catch, which I don't like the word language because we don't catch anything if you believe in the train theory. You already have everything you need, so you're not catching or bringing anything in. So if we can bust apart the central lie, then we have to ask yourself, why is everything closed? Why are they destroying the bottom half or the bottom two-thirds of the economy? And then you realize, or I realized, they're merging two psyops into one. So they're taking this big lie, selling it as real, and the reaction is another psyop, which are actually destroying the entire economy so they can rebuild it with their companies that are already set up and ready to be in the new business. So it's like a huge advantage. They're starting this race at the halfway mark because they're already set up with their businesses, and they know they're going to be successful destroying the bottom half, and they're literally going to keep their foot on your neck until you are dead. They are not letting it off, and they're going to wait till you stop wiggling before they basically say it's over. That's the way I'm looking at it. So it's two psyops that are merged into one fantastic giant destruction psyop. That's how I'm
analyzing it now. They got all these fucking nurses and doctors propped up like that, these frontline soldiers, and they got this whole false patriotism going on again, just like before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal. And then you've seen these videos of the nurses dancing, and it's just so unbelievable. And then, you know, we're the ones that get called out, oh, you guys are going to disrespect the dead. Meanwhile, they got Congo lines going down the hospital hallways, you know? And people want to say, oh, well, that's just how they relieve their stress every day or whatever. Dude, give me a break. We know how ridiculous these things are with these psyops and these people laughing and singing and dancing. If you even dealt with one dead person that day, if one patient died on you that day, you're not doing a dance, period. Period. Never mind, you wouldn't have time to do it in a pandemic. Did I tell you? I don't know if you saw it in the middle of my video. So we were going to hospitals and urgent cares and testing sites and all these places.
Is that when you were in L.A.?
Yeah, and we rolled up to one hospital, and I seen like 18, 19 doctors and nurses standing outside, and I'm like, look like they're going to dance. I think they're going to dance, right? So we go
really?
Park in the parking garage. Oh, yeah. So we go and park in the parking garage, and we come back, and they're all walking out from in front of the front door where they were to the sign that says, like, you know, we support our heroes or something, and they were all doing a photo op, and we caught them mid-photo op. They were all out there for like 10 minutes doing a photo op. I got it all on video.
Mm-hmm. But were they dancing?
Sorry. No, these ones didn't dance. They were outside.
I have a little bit of the theory on the dancing because Tim Austin, I see, has been doing a lot of that. Yeah.
There's 19 of them on break at once. You know what I mean? Like, come on. What's the pandemic?
Well, my idea, at least where I am in Canada, that I think the whole film your hospital showing that the hospitals are actually empty, I believe that is the truth because I think all these nurses and doctors are laid off because for the most part...
They are. Oh, they
nothing
are.
Nothing is I happening know. In hospitals. All elective surgery is canceled, and maybe most of the things that go on in a hospital is elective. So there are no doctors and nurses in the hospital. They're all sitting at home.
Well, there's
none. Yeah, when I follow my financial guy, I follow a financial blog, and a doctor wrote in asking for some financial advice because he was laid off. This guy was making $1 million a year. He couldn't pay his mortgage, which he had a big house with a big kitchen and all that. He couldn't pay his mortgage, so he actually applied for the government POGI, which isn't very much. It's not going to help a doctor much, but he still could apply. The point is he's sitting at home. So
I know. I'm waiting for a surgery. My surgery got canceled like when this whole thing
started.
But
here's the beauty. And this is what we learned from 9/11. When they do these psyops at certain positions, like let's talk about Lower Manhattan, they evacuate the area. So in this case, the main stage of this psyop is the hospitals. So worldwide, they're evacuating the hospitals. They're basically evacuated by only allowing COVID patients. So if there's no COVID patients in reality, and there's no rush of COVID patients. The only people that are in emergency are people that are really sick or dying from whatever that ails them because they're the only ones that would actually be admitted to a hospital because they do need care, but we don't know what care they need because they could have the usual things that kill Americans and Canadians, like number one is heart disease. So those people are probably in there. So but the point is that the main stage of the PSYOP is the hospitals. They're empty. So actual nurses and doctors cannot give you an opinion on what's going on because they're not there. Now, the dancing nurses, I think, are mainly actors. They could be filmed anywhere on any set. And that is to give you the impression that there are lots of doctors in the hospital and nurses that are there. And obviously, they're bored because we're doing such a great job social distancing and flattening the curve that they don't have much to do. So they can spin it so many ways. But I would say for the most part, real doctors, real nurses, they're not in the hospital at all because you can't have witnesses. You can only have your actor witnesses to do the witnessing and be the representation in the media. But the real people, they're not there. They're on the dole. They're on Pogi. They're on welfare. Whatever you want to call it.
And what they did here around the city I live is all the nurses that were 20 hours, they completely cut and put them on furlough. And all ones that were 40 hours, they cut them down to 20, but they were still able to collect unemployment. And then some of those they just completely cut as well. But, I mean, some of them are still at the hospitals for sure, but there's very, very, very few. When this thing first started, I think about like 7 weeks ago, I had my second doctor's appointment as this thing was rolling, and they had already cleared out all the appointments. The entire building was empty, and I'm talking to the guy like, he's like, oh, we're just, you know, we don't want to run out of equipment, so that's why they can't schedule it. I'm like, so what do you do all day? He's like, I sit here and do nothing. And I'm like, so you're just waiting? He's like, yeah, I'm just waiting for the overflow. Meanwhile, on the outside of his building, there's a posted sign saying, if you have this symptom, this, this, and this, go home, self-isolate, and call this number. As he's inside waiting for the people to come
in. So there's another set of people that won't be witnessed because they're sent home. That's the whole beauty of this. They have the whole set locked down, and people can't imagine, how can all these things be happening around the world and nobody notices? Well, there's your answer. Everything is covered. There's no one in the hospitals. No one can get in the hospitals. I guarantee, I haven't been to any of the local hospitals here, but I guarantee they all have security. Basically, or the big tents out front, or the little tents, basically to turn you around so you cannot even get in.
One tried to chase me off the property when we were filming the other day. He tried to chase us off.
Right, so that's the main argument, which should be totally illegal, at least where we live. We have public hospitals, which means we, as taxpayers, pay for them. So the idea that you can't go in a public building is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, of course, they have it covered that we're trying to keep the area sterile. We don't want any interference. We got to wait for the big surge. So this is such a perfect – this is, again, such a perfectly executed plan. They had an answer for everything. It's really, really good. And the fact that they can keep it going month after month, again, more great planning, more fantastic planning.
Yep. People just eat it up, man. They eat it up. And this is the way the mentality people have is when you point out to them that, do you know anybody? Blah, blah, blah. It's always elsewhere. The chaos is always elsewhere. Oh, but it's crazy in New York. It's crazy in Italy. No, it's the same everywhere. There's literally nothing going on. Like, literally, there's nothing going on. Like, it's crazy, you know, and everybody just buys into it. If they didn't have the TV, I mean, there'd be no story, man.
Yeah, and I really feel bad for all the people that have lost their businesses, lost their income, because these are real effects. These are real happenings. That's the real part of
it. The elderly are dying alone in nursing homes. We went to try and see what the policy was on visiting some of these people. The person was very confrontational with us, and they basically told me that they are not allowed, because it said restricted visits. So we tried to get the definition of what restricted visits were. First, she was furious that we were recording, so I had to shut the recording off just to continue the conversation. And then she told me that the visit, there's just no visits at all. And so when do they get to see any family, we asked. Oh, only on their last chat.
Well, hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Chad. So you tried to get in. Were you actually trying to visit someone in specifically, or are you just in general trying to inquire?
Just trying to get information to put together, just to get information to put together and spread to everybody out in the video to raise awareness. I don't know anybody in this place for real. They said that only on their very last dying days they're allowed a visitor. And we asked, well, how was that decision made? Well, it's just up to one doctor. I mean, one doctor gets to make that decision. He gets to play God.
Well, that's terrible.
And then we already know anybody of these old ladies that die, old men that die in a nursing home, they're already going to be 100% labeled COVID. And they're also practicing, because these people, all they do is wait for their visitors. That's like their life, man. That's all they have, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're even socially distancing the old people in the homes from each other. They told us this. We asked. So they're keeping them 6 feet apart so they can't even socialize inside the nursing home that they're already inside together anyways.
Well, plus they probably can't go down to the dinner hall and eat dinner either. They're probably being served in their rooms.
I'm sure.
Well, so at the very beginning, you probably knew, just being a PSYOP expert yourself, that this was a PSYOP from day one. You probably just had that.
Oh, yeah. Right from
so
day
all,
one.
So all your PSYOP senses went off. So everything that we always look for appeared. And basically, it allowed
Right away, you could tell by the fakery in China, the inconsistencies with how they were treating things, and there were people getting off planes, and they were, like, spraying them down with some stuff, and it was just, like, not uniform at all, and fake videos of people collapsing. So before this got to America, we knew it was fake. Let's be honest.
Well, but we saw it going on in China, but we still didn't think it was coming here. Is that the way you thought? You thought, no, they're not going to do
that. Yeah, I thought it was fake, but thought it was staying in China. Yep, that's what I thought. I think we all thought that. And then
why did you think it would stay in China? Because I really didn't think about it too much. Why did you think it was going to stay there?
I just thought it was a ridiculous story, and I didn't pay attention to it much either. That's probably what you were thinking, right? I didn't really put too much into it when I thought.
We had SARS in Toronto. SARS was another I never heard the word corona back in the SARS days, but we had limited access to our hospitals, I remember at the time, because of SARS. And from what I understand, that story was brought here maybe because we have a lot of Asians, Chinese in the Toronto area. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the reason was that it was here, but it was a big Toronto story. The main part of the story economically was they're saying because everyone knew Toronto had SARS, we lost all our tourism for a year. But unless you were in the tourism business, which is the big business here, of course, your life remained pretty much the same. You're not really affected by it. But otherwise, I remember when the mosquitoes had, the West Nile. I remember, I was careful not to get bit, but I didn't go nuts because I didn't walk through swamps. I remember those days. But again, there was no real difference in most people's lives. Okay, it's annoying getting bit by a mosquito, but when you got bit by a mosquito, you didn't go get tested, see if you were going to die from Zika or from West Nile, rather. So that was another non-story. I put all these stories in the killer bee story. You know how the killer bees are coming, or the murderous hornets or whatever they say.
Murder hornets? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but the point is, it didn't affect. The difference here is the organized collapse of the economy, because that's a real thing. You would never think they would deliberately crash the economy, because that's the one thing that's made this different. There's everything else is just a story, but the crashing of the economy by not allowing people. Well, again, it's not a law, but it's a very heavy-handed suggestion not to go to work, keep your business closed.
If you open it up,
you're a killer. So you don't want to be labeled a killer, do you?
Nope.
That is the main difference.
Yep. So we can't just ignore it like we can some of the other ones. That's what it is. Like for me, like I can't go to work. I worked at a restaurant. They're not opening anytime soon, you know? It's not my restaurant.
They're not making any changes for curbs, takeout, curbside, all that stuff.
Yeah, they're doing that, but working as a server, making tips, you can't go there and work takeout. It wouldn't even be worth my Uber fare to go to work.
Yeah. So it's killed the dining in experience. So the curbside, only the cook is working, I guess, maybe, and a couple of people to bring into the
curb. Yeah, the kitchen. There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's different for every country. This is a PSYOP. This is like a franchise PSYOP where it's in every country.
Yeah.
And I know where I live, some of the things they're trying to do, and they're doing them. I think they're trying to get rid of private nursing homes, make them all public. They want to raise the minimum wage because it's a terrible job, let's be honest. Working in a nursing home is not a good job, and mostly immigrants come in as their main first job, and it's not well paying. So they're trying to change all that. That's one of the things they're trying to do here. They use a disaster like this with emergency powers to do lots of things they've always had on their wish list. Businesses, government, they're all making changes that they never could have done unless there was a crisis, and this is the perfect crisis. But what do you think the end game is for the United States? I have some opinions on it, but what do you think is going to be the biggest change with their so-called new normal? And I hate all these new words and phrases. What do you see coming? Do you have any predictions for the United States? And I'm talking big change. I want to see big changes, big stuff.
All right, big change. Now, this is something I can't prove yet, but I, if you ask me where I think it might be going, this is hard. This isn't like 9/11, right? Because we're trying to do this in real time, right?
Yeah. So
we're definitely probably apt to make more mistakes along the way. Of course, I mean we're just trying to as it goes. But this whole social distancing thing and the whole thing with I'm not one to fear push with the vaccines and all this stuff. I think it's my body. Nobody's gonna make me do anything. As far as that, no, will many people be deceived and line up to get these types of things? Of course they will, because obviously they think there's this pandemic and these types of things are going to save them. But what worries me is Microsoft comes out with this whole virtual reality push with the satanic Sabrina chick, and they're pushing everything virtual, virtual. They want to do virtual schools, virtual this. Social distancing thing really, really, really pushed. I really not trying to say they're going to push us like, hey, we're in a matrix or a simulation world or anything, but they're going to really get people wrapped up in this whole virtual thing, and then they're really going to control their minds. You think the TV's bad? Wait till people stop putting on these headsets and all the fear porn that could come across in them. And I know it might sound far-fetched to some people. Just look at your Facebook feed. They're doing doctor's offices virtual. They're talking about putting virtual schools in New York. You know, there's all sorts of jobs that are doing virtual now. They got everybody doing these Zoom meetings with their family. This one nurse told me I was going to kill my nana if I went and visited her, and her and her 12 family members are doing dinner over Zoom because they're afraid to meet with each other. So that's the kind of world that they're pushing for. And that kind of worries me a lot. Also, I think that one of the other agendas could be a real, again, I don't think they want to wipe out people. I've never thought that. They want to control people. But I don't think they want people to be generally healthy and live a super long time. And I do think that by killing all the small businesses like this and making people buy all their food at places like Walmart and McDonald's, well, that's another huge part of the agenda as well, plus all the crash into the economy. And then they can just sweep in and take up all the property they want and turn it into whatever they want. So I think those are three very huge agendas of it right there. What do you think about that stuff?
Well, I think that they could never figure out a way in the decentralized United States to get national health care. I just could not ever see it. Now, we know we have that here. Most European countries, as far as I know, everyone has it. The United States is the last place that they don't have it because of the nature of the United States. It's not a federal, centralized country. Never will be. There didn't seem to be any way to achieve that. Now, I thought maybe this might be one of the main reasons that they're going to really stick this PSYOP to the U.S., and I'm assuming it's developed in the U.S. I think most of the great PSYOPs are American-based. You guys have the greatest, biggest military in the world. Couple that with some old-age know-how from England, U.K., whatever you want to call it. So couple those two. I figure that you got this. It's the rich American, Anglo-American empire, those are the rich people that are set to capitalize.
Yeah.
And the only way I can see them doing it, and I still think we're on track for this, is by basically taking over all the hospitals that they are in the process of bankrupting. Because as you know, a hospital has to be 90% full, like a restaurant, to make money. So if they keep doing this crazy, you can't go into a hospital and not have anything happening, they're going to bankrupt the whole hospital system. Now, I know that I don't know exactly who owns the hospital. I think it's a lot of HMOs and big health conglomerates, but they could basically tell these guys that we are going to set up this Department of Health, just like they set up the Department of Health Homeland Security after 9/11, which did not exist, by privatizing, taking all the private security, taking over all the security in the airports, and making this huge, and I mean huge, department. So I thought maybe they're going to do the same thing with healthcare there, where the federal government, because they're the only ones that can print the money, states don't have their own money, they are relying on the federal government, so they're going to create this massive Department of Health and take over to a great extent, maybe not completely, but maybe they'll buy up a good chunk of the hospitals and administer healthcare that way. Sort of an end run. They always have to work around the Constitution. They can't. They're never going to redo the Constitution, as far as I can see. They're not going to ignore the Constitution, other than the fact that they are right now because of the Emergency Measures Act in every state and federally. So that was sort of the big picture. That was one of the big picture things that I think they're going to do somehow, some way. So
yeah,
that's a big task though. It's a super big task. But I think it's possible because this corona is a magic weapon. This thing is beautiful. It can rise, it can fall, it can come back. Anytime they want to just swat the Americans, as long as they're too stupid to realize you can't catch a virus.com, they're just gonna fall for it every single damn time. So they finally got their magic bullet. This bullet can bounce any which way they want, and I'll give you a micro example. Here where we live, we have an incinerator. And I've always said they have, all governments have a wish list, all companies have a wish list of things they wish they could do except for the people that oppose them, like unions, like getting elected. So they probably were all told last year, okay, 2020, everything you want on your wish list, put it down because you're going to be able to do it because of this magic virus. So for instance, the incinerator down the road from where I live, they wanted to increase the incineration rate because garbage keeps growing, but it took a year or two to get approval because all the local residents say, no, we don't want any more garbage being burned. Now, because of the Emergency Services Act here, they just said, okay, what we want to burn more garbage because everyone's sitting at home. We have more garbage, so we're letting it through. Now, that's a very small, tiny little thing, but it's a big thing when it comes to a democracy. You know how people want to get all their ideas in place, their opposition. But with this Emergency Service Act, anything. Now, in our country, they had a phony shooting in Nova Scotia, a very tiny place in Canada. Yeah. And because we don't have a sitting parliament right now, we're under a dictatorship, basically, what I call a medical military dictatorship. The prime minister, by decree, it even said that, cabinet decree, the word decree. The only people that can decree in the past were kings and dictators. Well, by decree, he said 1,500 different weapons are banned tomorrow. And he said, if Parliament ever gets back, we'll go about passing a law. But right now, it's a decree. So overnight, 1,500 guns that he called military assault-style guns, gone. Illegal. Overnight. Now, you could... Now, because of our parliamentary system, he doesn't have a majority. He would have had to get the opposition to agree to that, which may or may not have been easy, probably more difficult than not. So he couldn't have just passed the law overnight like he did by decree. So that's amazing. Not a peep out of the people because they don't even know what happened. Yeah. No idea what happened because they're too busy worrying about being 6 feet apart, putting on a mask, all complete distractions. Not be lining up at the damn grocery store. Crazy. Yeah, so people are so distracted.
Putting on a mask, just so people know. You need to just go out and live your life. And I'm telling you right now, I am 5 for 5 as far as buying non-essential items at stores where they're taped off or not wearing a mask in a store that says no mask, no service. Went into two places that told me I couldn't go in without a mask, right on the sign on the door. Went in without my mask and bought what I needed. If you look these people in the eye and you go in and buy what you need, these businesses are dying. You think they're not going to sell you a coffee or my cigars that I bought today? Of course that they are. Of course they are. Now, I mean, and there were three stores that had stuff taped off. I went to a Walmart, bought a kid's ball just so they knew it was a toy, and I got it from the non-essentials just to see what would happen when I got to the register. And I told my friend, I said, you film this.
because if he doesn't let me buy this, I'm taking it, and I'm going to leave the cash, extra cash, on the counter, and I want to make sure you're cool with that because your car, we're leaving it. Oh, yeah, I went up. What do you think happened? So I'm worried if the guy's going to be like, you can't buy that, it's non-essential. I got it all recorded, right? I'm going to have a conversation with him. Well, what's going to happen when he goes to scan the ball, right? Is there going to be a thing that pings him and tells the cashier at Walmart, this is a non-essential item, you can't sell it? What do you think happened when I brought the ball to the counter?
No issue.
Same thing happened at another store, dollar store, bought a hat that was behind a non-essential, no issue. And then I went to CVS, bought a red fire truck, kid's toy, most blatant toy, right? I can't believe I have to say that, a blatant toy, right? Yeah, brought it up there. It was actually no barcode. He couldn't scan it. He was like, can you find another one? I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go look. He's like, oh, how much was it? Like $4? I said, yeah, $4.29. He said, oh, okay, no problem. And I said, thank you. I really need to get this toy for my kid just to see what his reaction would be. He didn't say nothing, and I left with my toy.
Yeah, that's crazy. So when's it going to end for you in Massachusetts there? You're in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. People are telling me now, the governor here is telling people they have to wear a face mask. You can get a $300 fine. Dude, I'll wipe my ass with that fine. Give me a break, dude. He can't make me do that. People are crazy. They'll just submit to anything, man. Yeah, the governor's going to tell me I need to cover my face. Meanwhile, they're up there doing interviews. Nobody's covering their face. The cops aren't covering their faces. People at the airport. Get out of here, man.
So you're still deep in the middle of it in Massachusetts. I hear they have at least 4 or 5 phases of this thing. Do you know what phase you're in there?
I don't know. Maybe 2 or 3. I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. When I went to California, it was worse with the people with the masks. And I'll tell you why. Because they have the scariest governor on TV, right? Because TV's what scares people. And he's over there saying snitches get rewards and we're going to do this and that. And you go over there and there's like so many people wearing masks. There's people out there jogging and bicycling in 90 degree heat, suffocating themselves with a mask over their face. Lots of people doing that. That's crazy.
Is the mask a great way of identifying who's compliant and who's not? Would you say that's a great way of separating the wheat from the chaff?
Yeah, and then when you see the ones in their car by themselves wearing it, those are the real real goners.
I was in a building yesterday. The guy who I never thought would be, you never know who's going to be a perfect drone and who's going to be defiant. This guy had a bushy beard, because obviously he's not shaving. He had a mask. He had a bandana over the mask. And he had a full face shield, that plastic plexiglass thing that you only see with guys, like a welder's mask.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, you've just done a triple barrier on your face. I don't even know how you breathe. And he's working inside. So, but wow. This basically tells you who.
When I was getting off the plane, there were so many people with masks on. It was kind of stuffy in the plane. I'm getting off the plane, and all these people are covered in sweat because they've been wearing a mask the whole flight. Some of the people had a mask on and blue latex gloves on the plane.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
All right, Brian, I said unfortunately I only had an hour, but I wanted to chat with you anyway real quick and just say hi and catch up. That was pretty good. You want to post a link to your channel and your YouTubes from this California trip? I'd like to see all that.
Yeah, where do you want me to send it to your Discord?
No, put in the live, if you're on the my Discord here, put in the live stream show notes. It's a text channel. If you scroll down, just put all your links there. That'd be fantastic.
All right, yeah. I just need you.
No, I'm here. An Ounce of Salt is here. Maybe he wants to say hi to you, but he can maybe, if you got time, I'll leave you guys be. This chat is always open. It's still streaming and still recording, so you guys can keep on going. Brian, if you don't mind staying, Frank just unmuted.
Oh, I actually got to run. I mean, I'll say hi to Frank real quick, but I got to run.
Thanks for your work, Brian. It's great.
Yeah, man. Thank you, brother. Yeah, and I'm going to leave a link to my third channel here as well, Lab, because that's where my live shows are, at least for a week, because I'm a bad boy.
Yeah, you're still You're still trying to keep this YouTube thing going. It's a lot of work to keep these channels. Because I don't do much on YouTube at all. Is it just a cat and mouse game?
Oh man, they took down 8 videos of mine in the last 3 days. only one they gave a strike for. They are taking a lot of videos down from everybody in the last like month. But I did.
Okay,
get
where do your videos go when they get taken down? Are they anywhere else?
They are all backed up to library automatically, so people can find them there. And at least 2 copies of my videos are on YouTube, so hopefully they don't usually hit both of those channels, like my backup.
What exactly is library? I've heard about it. What is its use?
It's a place that you can link your YouTube up to it automatically. It'll automatically upload all your videos into it, into a, like a BitTorrent file, so people can get them that way, like a peer-to-peer thing.
Okay, because you've always been really good with technical stuff, and I've always appreciated your advice because you got me on the virtual audio cables, which was the best thing ever for audio.
Yeah.
And I even sent you my cheat sheet that I sort of figured out. I had to really concentrate, which I'm not really good at, to try and figure out which cable goes where. You know how when you have a bunch of things on the go?
Dude.
Right now I have 13 cables going, and it all works. I'm always amazed.
13.
I have 13 because I have a phone system that I rarely use, like a Discord, so they all work and sound works together. So the sound from Discord goes into the phone, and the sound from the phone goes into Discord. It's a whole thing. But
yeah,
library. So if you set up library, how do you spell that? Because I know it's a funny spelling.
It's just LBRY.
Okay.
And another one that people said does it, I think people said BitChute will automatically do it, but I signed up twice to BitChute with 2 different accounts, and they haven't mirrored my YouTube videos yet, and I'm not about to upload 600 videos to it, you know? Library seems to integrate them all automatically. I haven't really gone back through there much to retrieve any and see how difficult that is or how easy it is to do, but a lot
it
of
says
other people
here, it's time to take back control from YouTube and Amazon. Top creators, self-respecting users, the privacy-conscious computer geeks, freedom lovers, lovable kooks, and readers of small gray text everywhere choose Library because it's open, fair, and free. I love it. I love it. Because I downloaded or looked into it a year ago, but I couldn't figure out the need or use of it. But you're saying you use it. So what is your library link? Can people get to that easily?
Yeah, you know what? I can get it. Hang on, because it's in
Wouldn't that be smart if people could just go to one place instead of going all over the place trying to find you on YouTube, for instance?
Yeah, well, the problem is most of these platforms, they don't do live videos, and I like doing live streams because a couple hundred people will be in the chat, you know?
Yeah.
Library doesn't do that, neither does BitChute, you know what I mean? So that for me, they just kind
of... But once people want to... If I don't really watch... I don't have time, unfortunately, to hit people's live streams. But if I want to go find the archive, just a simple, easy place, would be library, is what you're saying? Library is the best place?
Theoretically, I'm just being honest. I haven't gone back and searched through to see how easy it is to search for my content. I just know that it's backing the videos up, and I get emails that tell me they're backed up, but I haven't really gone back to see how difficult it is to go through this, so I'm not going to say it's definitely the best place, but it's what I'm using for now to do that, so it seems to be the best place, you know?
Okay, well, that's a tech tip. I'm going to take it to heart. I have my own website, of course, but the videos, backing up videos, because they're large files, would be a problem on my site directly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that tech tip, and all right, excellent. All right, we'll be in touch, and maybe, I'm sure this corona thing's going to go on for a long time, so I don't see an end to it.
Come over on my spot sometime in the next couple months, you know? People like to see
that. Where's the best place to find you just to drop in? Is it your Discord?
If you're trying to actually reach me, if you're trying to just reach me, just, I know you don't use Facebook, so just message me on Skype. I literally just put Discord on my computer, this new computer today, just so you could get in touch with me. I never really use it anymore.
Oh, so you're sort of out of Discord now. Because I see most reality Discord. Is that quiet now, or you don't go there?
I'm just so busy making videos. I know some of my listeners go there. I'm honestly just never there, you know. I might get back into it a little. I haven't had time for it. It's just another one of those things you kind of set up and get away from. So I do check my Skype more often because there are a few people I talk on there. So if you need to reach me, just hit me up there. But more often than not, I'm just live on my main channel whenever I can be. So it's usually a few times a day.
Yeah, and you have a Patreon now?
I do. And everybody not harassed me, but everybody was telling me forever that I should set one up. And, you know, I was kind of like, I don't know about doing that. But, yeah, I have one now. And, yeah, I've had it for about 30 days.
Well, you need to survive. You're not obviously surviving well in your business, so.
No. No.
And you do a lot of content, which I appreciate. All right, Brian, thanks so much, and we'll be in touch. Thanks for the update.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. That's all, folks.